This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsa, genatsa, pailus, inchpese. Chris, how are you?
I am fantastic. Jano, how are you today?
I am doing great, my friend. I am doing great. And actually, I'm kind of reliving Brazil again with our Armenian.
That was an exciting time.
Oh, you know, wasn't it, though? Wasn't it? It was a little too exciting, I got to tell you, because I was in Armenia, and I'll relive this again. And Huri Gebeshian,
how cool!
She had her outfit and everything there, man.
I remember.
Shoes. I had to bring this, and it was like bringing the president's kids across the pond back to America. That's how
no
I
Secret
felt.
Service, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad it all worked out, and you know what? It's time to find out how Hori's been and what she's been up to. Brian, you have Hori on? Yes, yes. Hori, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good.
We are doing great. We are doing great. You remember that, Hori, with me and Armenia picking up your stuff?
Yes. You know, I was freaking out over here on this side of the pond on whether or not I could get my uniform or couldn't. And you said, you know what? I'm going to Armenia if you need anything. And I was like, absolutely, I need this uniform. Can you go get it for me? And
Hori,
you were
I was
on
kidding.
Top of it. You overnighted it for me. And, you know, it was... It worked out great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm forever indebted.
Jono was thinking maybe a postcard,
yeah, really.
A bottle of wine.
A picture like, of wine.
Now I have a uniform. I'm scared to death. I'm going to lose it.
Hey, oh, God, you should have seen me guard this. Every little airport that I stopped at, I stopped at one in Europe, and I was like, this is an Armenian outfit for the Olympics. Please don't wrinkle it or anything. And I was guarding
That's
it with
fantastic.
My life. Yeah. Yeah.
It made it, so thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And, Hori, what have you been up to? And tell us a little bit about after the Olympics, what things have happened for you.
Yeah, so it's actually been a little bit of a whirlwind after the Olympics. I thought my life would slow down a little bit, but it's picked up quite a bit. I think, you know, the hype of having an Armenian-American Olympian so close by has made the community super excited. So I've been traveling around all over the United States, speaking at different locations, different churches, different schools, all sorts of places, just meeting the communities, not just the Armenian communities, but, you know, gymnastics communities, all sorts of things, and really just kind of making my presence known and sharing my story with as many people as I can. And it's been exciting, all on top of still working my full-time job as a surgical physician assistant, kind of just doing all that.
That's a lot.
By the way, my wife said that is a tough job.
Oh, my
what
God.
She does,
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And my doc, my wife's an MD. So any case, you got to move. You got to move. And you got to be proud of that. I mean, the Gebeshian move is something that will be entrenched in. Now, let me ask you this. The Olympics, I know you're going to say maybe the gold, but I'm saying to you right now, having a move put on, having some sort of your name as for years to come, 40, 50, 100 years from now, they're still going to have that move. If you would have won a gold or something, I think you would have been forgotten down the line. But the move that you have is going to be entrenched in the gymnastics world. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's kind of comparing apples and oranges. You know, winning a medal is something everybody always asks about, whether or not, you know, you won that, you were in that top three. But in the sport of gymnastics, getting a skill named after you is right up there. Just kind of parallel, maybe even more important, like you're saying, than getting that gold medal. Because, yeah, I hope at least people start doing the skill and my name kind of stays in the limelight and in the gymnastics world forever and ever as more and more people do it.
I mean, you think about it, Huri. In my days growing up, it was Nadia Comaneci. Everyone
right.
talked about Nadia Comaneci. You ask a young person now, oh, yeah, one day you'll be like Nadia Comaneci, and they'll say, who's that? So, you know, even people like that will ride off into the sunset. But having your own move, having that one thing that will stay as a plateau for gymnasts that, hundreds of years from now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it.
I hope so. And actually what I hope is if, you know, I'm working with a couple of younger Armenian-American gymnasts right now, female gymnasts, that are hoping to kind of compete in 2020, 2024. You know, we'll see if they make it there. But my goals is once we get them up to the level to teach them my skills so then they can do it also at their
nice.
Relative Olympic Games. So we'll see. We'll see nice. If it happens.
How cool would that be? Like the Romanians really cool. had yeah. their own signature move. Now the
yeah.
Armenian team will be taught by Huri Gebeshyan on the Gebeshyan.
On the Gebeshyan. How cool.
Yes, oh, I'm yeah. pumped up already. Yeah. When's the next Olympics?
I'm ready. Book the plane.
All right. So, what have you been up to though? Have you been? You told me that you're headed across to possibly was it Europe that you're headed to for some sort of another competition with some people that you're taking, some other athletes.
Yes. So, like I just said, I've been trying to kind of reach out to as many Armenian communities as I can, sharing my story, sharing my dream of really building an Armenian gymnastics women's program. And I think it really is going to start here in the United States with Armenian Americans and kind of build the foundation there. And I have a couple of girls that are interested. One girl in particular, she is now 14, so she will be of age for the 2020 Olympic Games. We are going to our first international competition representing Armenia for her just at the end of July, so in the next coming month in Hungary. So we're really excited. The journey is going to start, you know, beginning for her, and I am going to be her coach/mentor traveling with her to these competitions.
How did you hook up with her?
Well, kind of crazy story. The woman that choreographed my floor routine and my beam routine was one of my previous teammates from, you know, long, long, long ago when I was like a little baby. And she was coaching her in California. And then she was like, you know what? I had a teammate that was Armenian that's competing in the Olympic Games. What do you think about when you get older, if you would like to do this? And she talked to her mom and this gymnast in particular, her name is Anahit, and they were both like, yeah, absolutely. So the choreographer kind of hooked us up, and here we are.
Beautiful, beautiful. And like I told you in the past, I've got one of our gymnasts too that's Armenian. That's I think she's headed to Duke University, and that's Maya Demirchian, and she's really into gymnastics as well. So it's something that's been caught on in the Armenian world here. I mean, it's not like we've let it go. And I think everyone's excited. It's still excited about what you did out there.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I relive it every so often, and it's still exciting for me just to relive the experience for sure.
Now, is there somewhere that we can also show some support by, I'm sure this isn't coming cheap to Armenia or you guys just putting money together. Is there something to where we can have some input financially to help you guys out too?
Yeah, absolutely. So my GoFundMe that I had when I was training for the Olympics, any of that leftover got saved up for now the Armenian women's gymnastics program that I'm continuing on. So it's going to go to Anahit. It's going to go to the next people. So that is actually, so it's still up. It's still the same GoFundMe. It's GoFundMe.com/Hooting for Hooties, H O O TINGFORHOURY. So it's just that same GoFundMe. I thought it would be easier just to keep the same one that people knew and just know that it's now instead of me, it's going on to this program that I'm hoping to build.
Okay. And how many athletes do you have right now?
So right now I have two. I have one, Anahit, who is 14, and then another who is 9 years old. Her name is Liana. And actually, Liana just came out to Cleveland for a couple of days a couple of weeks ago and trained with me and did a little camp. Anahit is going to come do a camp with me, not next week, but the weekend after. So far we have two, but it starts with, you know, just a couple, and hopefully we'll build from there.
Sure, sure. There's no question about it. Have you stayed in touch with any of the Olympic players, athletes from Armenia?
Yeah, I have. So one of the swimmers, who was actually our flag bearer for the opening ceremony, you guys talked to him. When we were in Rio. We've been chatting back and forth. He's interested in coming to the United States and hopefully swimming for a university. So I've been trying to help him do that. And then the men on the gymnastics team, all the same men that I competed with are still competing and doing well. So we keep in contact there.
And they were such good guys. And thank you so much for having them on our show, too. It was like Armenians that throughout the world now we're hearing our people down there in Brazil getting ready for events. It was really a good moment to have on our show. We loved it.
Oh, good. I'm glad we were able to make that happen. They were excited to be on it. So glad it worked out.
Yeah. So have you do you practice now, or is there anything down the line for you as well, or are you now just coaching?
I have officially retired from competing gymnastics myself. Every once in a while I'll play around and still believe that I can do gymnastics, but no, I've transitioned into the coaching, the mentoring on the side. But yeah, I still have, you know, my regular full-time job as well. But the gymnastics for me is unfortunately over.
No, but you know what? Even when it's over, you did so much. I mean, it was great seeing our Armenian flag, seeing our athletes walking, and seeing a move put on that's now going to be entrenched in the gymnastics world. That's something amazing. I know I keep stressing that, but I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Have you been across the nation at all looking at any other athletes, any other Armenian athletes? I mean, if there's any out there, can they contact you? How's that work?
Yeah, they can contact me. Mostly, you know, I've just tried to use these interviews, my social media, you know, any type of media to get anybody's attention to say, hey, I'm looking for these athletes. So most people have just contacted me. And, you know, we're trying to get something started in Armenia through our men's program. But, you know, that's going to take kind of baby steps. But if anybody wants to contact me, you can always email me, which is just my first name, HOURY, last name, GEBESHIAN at yahoo.com. And I would be more than happy to look at your kids, see if there's
potential,
any possibility of them doing it. I know that there's been actually a ton of people that have Armenian descent. You know, there was a tennis player that contacted me, a badminton player, all sorts of different sports. And I wasn't quite sure how to guide them just because my experience is with gymnastics. But I can do my best if you email me and we can go from there.
Has there been Armenia reaching out to you to do any camps in Armenia itself?
Not quite yet, no. I think there was a little bit of a disconnect with kind of my involvement in Armenia after the Olympic Games. I really wanted to stay in contact. I really wanted to work with them. And I'm not quite sure what happened, but especially with this young girl, Anahit, who we're starting to get to competitions, there was a little bit of a miscommunication on who was going to be involved and what was happening. And when I said, you know what, I'll travel with her, I'll be her coach, I want to do this, they were like, oh, you still want to be involved? And so we're kind of we've kind of backtracked a little bit, but they know I want to be doing this. They know kind of this is my goal. So we're going to start working together here, hopefully shortly, especially when I meet up with them at the meet in Hungary.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited for you. And as all Armenians out there, we wish you nothing but the best. And her name's Anahit, huh?
Anahit, yep.
That's my wife's name, and I don't think my wife could even do a cartwheel.
Let Mia know, you know, if she wants to join this program, join this team, she's more than welcome.
Oh, that I think she would be very excited about that because she's been very good. Did you catch that video I sent?
You know, I wasn't able to get it. I don't know what's happening. Able to get the link. But,
anyway,
I need to check her out. We'll talk about it.
She's been outstanding. She's been outstanding.
Awesome.
And everyone's looking up at what you did, and we're still very proud of you. And God bless. Give us that site again to where we can go and fund this.
It is called gofundme.com/hooting4hootie.
Hootie for Hootie. Hootie for Hootie. Hootie. Yeah.
Yeah, HOOTINGFORHOURY.
There you go.
Perfect, perfect. All right, Huri, stay in touch with us, and we wish you, again, nothing but the best. And if anything pops up, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Okay,
thanks,
pal.
Thanks, Huri.
Well, we had Huri Gabeshian on there.
Yeah, that's bringing back the memories of the Olympics.
You know what? I kind of tried... one of her moves. My kid's in the gymnastics class.
Oh.
So, there was no one in there. There was no one in there. So I said, I look like Chris Farley. I ran up to this thing. I jumped out. I fell backwards. I don't think anyone's seen me, but this Armenian really took a tumble there.
But do they have the big, like, the mats you can fall on?
I wouldn't have done it if they didn't have the mats. Are you kidding me?
The big... foam pit. I've always wanted to jump in the big foam
pit.
Big
foam pits there. Yeah. I can't believe anyone didn't see me, but I was, you know what? When you're in there by yourself, I guarantee who's ever in there likes to do something, you know? And know that no one's watching.
Like when the security footage is found, the music that goes along with it, like...
no kidding. No kidding. I'm probably on all sorts of social media right now.
Hey, wait, look at that. Wait a minute.
Watch that. That's me. Anyway, folks, you folks out there, definitely catch our show at armeniaproud.com. And armeniaproud.com, we've got, the best way is to subscribe to our show. And our subscription has went up here, too, so I'm very happy with that. Yeah. We got that going for us.
It's really easy to subscribe through the website. It has all the buttons on there, depending on how you listen to podcasts, you listen on iTunes or wherever. You know, the buttons on the website, hit the button, it'll open up in iTunes, if that's where you listen, or Stitcher or wherever, and it'll have you subscribed, and the show will automatically download your phone or device every week. You get it. You can listen.
Yeah, that's the way to go there. Subscribe. Like you said, Stitcher, podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Google Play, Android, whatever it is out there. You can find it on our page as well at armeniaproud.com. Yeah. So it's very easy. We appreciate all the love. And if you're on armeniaproud.com, go to the right-hand side. If you're going to shop on Amazon, why not shop on Amazon through our site at armeniaproud.com? And once you click on Amazon, you won't see us again, and you'll be shopping away.
Yep.
So kind of exciting there.
After you hit it the first time, save it in your bookmarks. You don't even have to come back to our site. You can just hit it straight through your bookmarks, and you've got it.
Pretty easy. And what else is easy is having a little wine.
It is.
Having a little wine. And you know what? The best thing about it, man, is at night, summer nights where it drops down to 65, 70 degrees, you're sitting outside with your gal or your friends,
the
and you're just
music.
You're kicking back and you're enjoying some good wine. So,
absolutely.
And on that note, I got caught up thinking about tonight, we've got Anush. We've got Anush, and she's our wine expertise. And Anush, how are you?
Hi guys, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, and we're doing exactly how you like us to treat our wines
what
lately.
that's great, because, I mean, a lot of people say that they don't like wine because sometimes they had an unpleasant experience, and doing all these little things, which can seem like time consuming, but doing all these little things are enhancing your experience and your taste for the wines.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know
so
what?
I'm glad you are following the
guidelines.
The steps or yes. whatever guidelines. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It really helps you out too. The segment, folks, if you're out and about and you run into wines, and I'm really ignorant about it. I don't know what wine to look at. I thought this was having Anush was a blessing on the show because you hardly get all these facts about wine and all that. So we appreciate it. And last week, Anush, I brought up a question towards the end of the interview, and that was about, you know, like I said, my wife had a baby shower and
baby shower. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and there was a couple wines there right in the middle of all the desserts out there. And does that really play a role in drinking a wine with desserts too?
So here is about dessert wines. It is so such a big topic. In, let's say, in Europe, in England, anything sweet is considered dessert wine. In the United States, the dessert wines are considered the wines that have alcohol above 14%, and they also have residual sugar. So I guess the dessert wine is it depends on the method of its production, and there is so many ways that you can make dessert wines. Dessert wines can complement desserts. They can be drank on their own, and they can also complement main dishes, mm-hmm. or they can go well with the cheese, with different cheeses. So let me give you a few examples of how the dessert wines can be made, and also a few examples of the types of dessert of the wines. And then the recommendation would be two, and I'll talk about them, so not to get it into too much. And we can have a another show of going into more detail if okay. you guys are interested.
Oh, definitely.
So the sugar, where is the sugar comes from? It comes from the grapes, and some wines are fermented not all the way through. Their alcohol level is low, and hence there is some sugar still left in the wine, and that becomes a sweet wine. Mm. So that's one way of doing it. And to stop the fermentation, they either add additives or they chill it so that it kills the yeast.
Okay.
Another way of making a dessert wine is putting so much sugar into it during the fermentation that the yeast is not able, even though it goes all the way converting, but there's so much sugar that it cannot go all the way, and there's still some more sugar left in the wine. So that's another way of doing it. A third way is by adding another alcohol like brandy. And that is a way to produce port wine.
Huh. Okay. Now, is brandy, Anush, I got to interrupt you. Is brandy much more aged version of wine? Because it has that kind of like a wine taste to it, but it's much, much, much stronger. But is it in that family to where they've aged it some more and they've added some more more ingredients to it to make it the brandy? How's that work?
Brandy is a wine that has been distilled.
Okay.
So, and then once it's distilled, it's aged for a certain number of years. So it is a great product, and that's why they add brandy into the port and not other alcohols to kind of keep the flavors together. But yes, brandy and the cognac from the cognac region is a wine that has been distilled, and we can. I remember the message. We can do a segment on cognac and going into that.
I love it.
You know, talking more detail about that because, you know, Armenians produce cognac and it's also related to the grape, and so it's an interesting subject to talk about.
I would love that.
So,
yeah.
Sounds great. Sounds like a plan. So that's another way of making dessert wine. Another way of doing it, and this is so cool too, is by using frozen grapes. Mm. And those are the grapes that have been hanging on the vines for, you know, very long time. And all these methods are by accident. So for the brandy, let me go back to the fortification with the brandy. So when you add the brandy into a wine, it's called fortifying, and it's for port. And it was done during the times when English were bringing the wine from Portugal, and for it not to spoil, they would add another alcohol into it. So that would preserve it and would also make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the port was born, like by fortification. This one, in Germany, after a certain time, you know, the winter would come soon, and some of the grapes that would be left hanging on the vines would get frozen, and they still took them and they squeezed them, you know, they pressed them, and the amount of the juice that comes from the grapes is very little, but it's very concentrated in the flavor. And that was another way to make it, and that's how the ice wine was made, another dessert wine.
Mm.
And then I'll give you one more. I know there's lots, but another one which is has a world renown, and it's one of the considered one of the best dessert wines ever. It's a wine, the grapes that are affected by what's called a noble rot.
And
noble rot. It's a fungal infection that affects the grapes. And it sucks out the moisture of them, and it again concentrates the flavors and the sugars and aromas. And that's made, that comes from Bordeaux region, and that makes an absolutely outstanding dessert wine. It's like honey.
You know what it sounds more like, Anush, is that whatever nature did, we adapt. Uh-huh. We adapted to it. Whatever,
exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing how man can adapt to what nature. You know, you would think, oh, now, you know, I lost my grapes. They're froze. I've lost them. No, we went and used them for a different sector of the wine business.
Exactly. Another one which is also very interesting is the wine that made from raisins, and that's that in Italy. There is so many other ways. There's a cooking, there's the Madeira, which you cook the wine. So there was, again, you know, they would put it out to ferment, but because it was too hot, it would start cooking the wine and evaporate the moisture, and the result is a dessert wine. So those are the different methods of making. So you can have a dessert wine from being not too sweet to being super sweet to being low in alcohol to being very high in alcohol. So there is, and here are the main types of dessert wine. Can be sparkling dessert wine, lightly sweet, richly sweet, and sweet red wine, and then fortified wine. All those are, you know, within the types and the ways of production, there is a whole big world of dessert wines that are absolutely delicious and definitely worth trying.
Well, yeah, I guess my wife's thing there with the baby shower, she had the right spread because she had sweet wine. It was sweet red wine, and she had it with all sorts of different desserts out there as well. So I guess it blended in just perfectly with the taste of the sweetness going, complementing actually the sweet stuff sitting out there as well.
Exactly. The key is to have it not as sweet as the dessert. So something has to be a little bit less sweet to pair. And also the red sweet dessert wine can be chilled, you know, going back to our last week's episode.
Right.
So for this week's recommendations, my absolute favorite, the one that I mentioned, the one from Bordeaux region of France, it's Saturn.
And these are the dessert wines, I'm sorry?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, dessert wine. So
all
we'll
right.
go with one white dessert and one red dessert wine.
Perfect.
So a Sauternes from Bordeaux, and it's the Semillon grape, Semillon, the different way of pronunciation grape that has been, this is the, these are the graves that have been affected by the noble rot, and they call it noble because the wine is so expensive. It's just a fungus. But still, it should be perfect climate. I know. I mean, it's just like the, what is it, black truffle. Yeah. It's just a mushroom, but it's so expensive.
Right.
So, right. So anyways, back to the wine. It's a half bottle, and it's around $24. Pairs perfect with cheeses. Something, I don't know if you're into or not, there's a duck liver thing. So duck liver pate or roasted or fried duck liver, if you like that, that pairs absolutely well together. But I also was talking to someone earlier, and they said it can even be paired with some Asian food. I haven't tried it, but why not? But the thing is that with this wine, because it's a half bottle and it's so concentrated, you don't need a lot of it. Just a little bit, like a couple of ounces, in the glass, and it's very rich, very honey, but has good acidity. So beautiful wine.
I can't wait.
And it's Chateau. it's a Chateau Guyard Sauternes.
Well, so can you repeat that one more time?
French. This is my French pronunciation.
Oh, it's
Chateau Guyard. Chateau Guyard, and I'll have the link.
Please.
And it's a half bottle, 375 milliliter, mm-hmm. and for like $23.
Okay. Again, very affordable.
And, I'm sorry?
I said again, that's very affordable for something yeah. like this.
Yeah, and this is something to, it depends. You can either have it by yourself or when you have a company, another... Like you're doing white wine at the beginning and then red wine and then at the end with a dessert or with a cheese course, you know, pull out this wine, which is not too expensive, but it would be enough for everybody for 1 or 2 ounces to taste and finish out dinner with that or with the next suggestion, which is a 20-year-old Tony Port from Portugal. Mm. So, and... yeah, this has also nice, it's finely balanced, has very nice complexity, very rich on the palate, and, you can have it at the end of the meal, or again, pair it with some cheeses to go with it.
Sounds great. I tell you what, that's... Well, we've covered that angle as well now. We got the white wine, we got the red wine, and both these will be out on our site. You'll put this on our site, Anush?
Yes, I okay, will.
Perfect. So our folks will check this out as well. You know, Anush, I got to throw you, you know, this may be a whole nother segment too, but whenever I'm sitting down there at an Armenian dinner with my friends, I got my wine and that little dreaded little shot glass that they fill up with vodka every time there's a toast. I got to drink that. Does that ruin the wine taste too? Or after a while, you just say the hell with it. Everything just tastes the same when we're doing these shots and the wine together. That's not something that should go with wine at all. Different alcohol, right?
I think so. I mean, it's good to keep them separate for so many reasons. Number one, of you know, getting too much intoxicated.
Yeah.
But also the experience. Sometimes some people, you know, when they mix the alcohols, for example, for myself, I know that my husband can drink in any order and back and forth.
God bless him.
It doesn't affect him. But... Yeah, he's Irish. He's Irish.
Yeah. They're the founding fathers of drinking, I think. So, yeah.
Exactly. But for me, if I mix two types of alcohols, I do not feel well.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the scientific reason for that, but it doesn't, my body cannot take it. So if I'm going with the wine, I'll just take the wine and If it's vodka, which I don't drink anymore, it would be just that one kind of alcohol. It's better to just stick with one and You know, it's your choice. You know, I know it's in Armenian parties, everybody can be super convincing and this and that.
Oh,
but,
my God.
You know.
They'll look at you, too. They'll look at you like, are you kidding me? You're not going to do a toast?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, of course I'm going to do a toast.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's always coming around. All right, Anush, I appreciate.
And don't forget about water.
Water, yes.
Don't forget about water.
You know, that was a great idea. I think you gave that segment maybe about 6-7 shows ago, and I have totally bought into it now that every time I drink now, I have my water with me as well, and it really does work wonders, guys. And I know everyone does it, but if you're just getting onto it, if you're drinking your wine or you're drinking your spirits and all that, have a glass of water with you. It really does help.
Stay hydrated, yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Anush. Well, we'll see you next week. And maybe you could come up with something else that we're very interested about.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care. Well, that was Anush, Chris. Another great wine segment.
Absolutely. It's always exciting to hear from her, especially, you know, end of the weekend, have a nice wine.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been really high on this one wine, too, she put out on her site. She's so excited about drinking it. So,
hey, you know when the wine expert's excited about drinking
it? Oh, I know.
Wine,
it's got to be damn good. That's the thing about, you know, I go to these ethnic restaurants.
Yeah.
I want that person to be at that type of place. Like, if it's a Chinese restaurant, I want the Chinese people eating there.
Absolutely.
And that shows to me that it's got credibility.
Yeah. No, it's.
Am I right about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You get the legitimacy of the, you know, the ethnic food.
Right.
You get the, you know, like, with those people at the restaurant.
Right. If I'm at an Armenian restaurant, I want to see Armenians eating there. That's the biggest compliment. Yep. So anyway, we've got Anush with our wines, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. That it's been great ride so far having these ladies helping us out with their picks on wines. I guess that was Anush. And we got one more coming up with Mariam. Anush and Mariam are throwing one together. Kind of like a dinner wine type of thing.
Exciting,
Really are exciting. Are you in touch with that?
No,
making things
both
happen.
Of them, yeah, they're
okay. Perfect.
On the road to getting there. So
excellent. All right, my friends, I think that'll do our show. It's not as big as the last shows that we've had, but you know what? Be honest with you, I didn't have any more guests. As an Armenian, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see you next week, and we'll have another great show here for you, and I'm sure you guys love what we got going. And again, subscribe to our show. It's pretty easy, and the numbers are going up, Chris. I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Yeah, fantastic.
So very happy with you guys out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Spread the word, and again, I'm sharing this on all you guys' sites, and I'm very happy that you guys are listening in. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you next week. Genatsit Kisher Party, and we'll see you guys next week then.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.